युनस्यादौ कुर्वन् गीतामृतं ददौ लोकत्रयोपकाराय तस्मै कृष्णात्मने नमः। हरे कृष्ण, वेलकम बैक टू अवर भगवद्गीता कोर्स। टुडे वी डिस्कसिंग द सेकंड चैप्टर ऑफ द भगवद्गीता एंड वी कंप्लीटेड फर्स्ट फाइव वर्सेस वेर वी डिस्कस्ड अबाउट द स्पिरिचुअल एंड द करंट सोशियो कल्चरल मीनिंग्स ऑफ द वर्ड आर्य एंड देन वी डिस्कस्ड अबाउट द रीजंस व्हाई भीष्म पितामह डिड नॉट फाइट did not protest against Draupadi's being dishonored. And then we are right now discussing the fifth reason of Arjuna for not fighting. The first four were compassion, enjoyment, sinful reactions, destruction of family traditions. Now Krishna tried to give Arjuna a pep talk, saying that, come on, don't be weak like this, be a man, fight. But Arjuna counters back by saying, what kind of man can raise weapons against his own teacher and his own grandfather? I can't do that. Better that I live as a beggar. So although Arjuna says that it is better to live as a beggar, actually he has said that twice. In 2.5 he said this, and before that in 1.4.45 also he said the same thing. Actually it will be better for us to live by begging. But now he says that actually I'm not sure what I should do. That's the verse if we start from today. न चैतद् विद्मः कतरन्यो गरीयो यद्वा जयेम यदि वानो न्ययेयुः यानेव हत्वा न जिजीविषामस् ते अवस्थिता प्रमुखे धार्तराष्ट्रः। सो न च एतद् एतद् न च वी सर्टनली डू नॉट नो विद्मः आई डू नॉट नो कतरन्यो गरीयो कतरन् वी डू नॉट नो विच इज गरीयो इज बेटर विच इज बेटर यद्वा जयेम Either we should attain jaya, yadivano jayeyu, or we should not attain victory, that they attain victory. Either we win or we lose. So, normally speaking, if there is a battle, you would say, if there is a sports match, which captain will say before the match, I don't know which is better, whether my team wins or that team wins. You would say, obviously, your team wins. What's the figuring out to be done above for that? He says, no. The issue is not so simple over here because Yane Vahatva Najiji Vishamas. If they die, Yane Vahatva Najiji Vishamas. I will have no desire to live. Najiji Vishamas. Te Avasthitaha Pramukhe Dhatarashtra. So those whom I have no desire to kill, they are here right in front of me to fight with. And therefore, the issue has become so very complex. So now Arjuna has actually essentially three options. So one is if he wins, if he fights, actually he has two options with the consequences. Two options, one is fight or he doesn't fight. Now if he fights, there are two options within that. If he fights and wins, then he has killed his relatives and he will not be able to enjoy because whatever he has got is tainted with the blood of his own loved ones, his venerable elders. And then second, if he fights and if he loses, then he will lose his life. But he is not really concerned about losing his own life. He is concerned primarily, if he fights, he is really not thought about whether he wins or loses, whether the possibility of losing. But other option is that if he decides not to fight, then the only alternative that he has to live by begging. And that is actually a very disgraceful option for a Kshatriya to do. Now Arjuna is not really just concerned only about the disgrace. He's thinking about the duty also. So Krishna has told him that it will be anaryam, aswargakaram, akirtikaram. So it will be dishonorable for your family and race. It will not lead you to heaven. It will lead you to infamy. So he's confused now. So what should I do? So in today's language, Arjuna sees before him a lose-lose situation. If I do this also, I lose. I do that also, I lose. So what should I do? He feels there's nothing that I can do to mitigate the situation. Lose, lose. That's what he feels. So therefore he's saying, I don't know what to do. How should I move forward? And then when he thinks like this, that I just don't know what to do. This is actually the beginning of intelligence. You know, intelligence means to know what to do when we don't know what to do. Intelligence means to know what to do when we don't know what to do. So, if I don't know what to do, then how do I know what to do? Actually, it means that when we don't know what to do, you know, when we look up, feel that there's nothing good ahead. Look around, I don't see anything good ahead. Look back, that's not an option. What do I do? Look up. Look up is pray. Pray, seek guidance. Seek help from the Supreme Lord. And when we do that, then it's not that we may have the opportunity to directly hear from Krishna, but Krishna is present in our heart. And Krishna is present in the words of Guru Sadhu Shastra. So Krishna will guide us. That's what we have to do. So now Arjuna has come to a moment where he is frozen by indecision. And as he is frozen by indecision in this way, he starts thinking, what should I do? And he realizes, I don't know. So what should one do when one doesn't know? Turn upwards, turn towards God. So normally we will turn upwards, but Arjuna is so fortunate that Supreme Lord who stays high up in sky, in the spiritual world, he is right next to him. So Arjuna turns towards his charioteer. Not his charioteer, the Supreme Lord. And he says, Krishna, I surrender to you. Please guide me. That is the next verse. So, Karpanya dosho pahata swabhava Pucchami tvam dharma sammoha chetaha Vishreyasyan nishchitam bruhitanme Shishyasteham shadhimam tvam prapannam. So, karpanya dosho apahata swabhava. So, karpanya. Karpanya is kripana. Karpanya is miserly weakness. So, Arjuna had earlier been referred to Klaibhyam masma karma partha naitattva padyate shudram hruday daurbalyam tektu otishtha parantapa. So you are very weak. So the same point Krishna Arjuna is now acknowledging. Yes, I have become weak. Karpanya dosha. Because of weakness I am overcome. Apahat swabhava. So my swabhava is become overpowered. I have got the characteristics of a weak person now. And such a situation, Pucchami tvam, I ask you, tvam dharma, I ask you about what is my duty. Dharma sammoodha chetaha means my intelligence is bewildered. My consciousness is deluded. And what am I asking you? Shreyasya nishchitam ruhitanme ishreya. I want to know what is shreya. Now actually Arjuna has himself said what is Shreya. He has said earlier, Shreya bhoktum bhaiksham apyah loke, just two verses earlier in 2.5. I think it's Shreya, better for me to beg. But he says, no, is it really right? The Kauravas have done so much wrong and it is my responsibility as a king also to act. What should I do? Just completely undecided. So he says, I don't know what is Shreya. So please tell me what is actually the long term good for me. Sya nishchitam bruhi. Tell me for what is for certain. My mind is going on this track at one moment, that track or the next moment. And as it is going on all these multiple tracks, it is leaving me undecided. So shishyasteham, I become your disciple. Shadhi mam tvam prapannam. Shadhi means instruct me. And I surrender to you. Prapannam. Shadhi mam tvam prapannam. This is a very important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. And Srila Prabhupada's purport for this is also a classic purport. So, Prabhupada's purport focuses mostly on the theme of perplexities. Material world puts us in perplexities. Should I do this? Should I do that? What should I do? When we are put into perplexities like that, we just don't know. How should I act? How? So, when we just don't know how to act at that time, it can be a very demanding and draining situation, emotionally as well as physically. We feel all our energy being sucked down. So at such times, when we have to work our way up, how do we do that? We do that by turning towards God. So he says, please instruct me. So Prabhupada says that the perplexities just come by their own. We don't want those perplexities, but just as a forest fire comes by the friction inadvertently. Similarly, perplexities come in this world. And a wise person is one who knows how to deal with them. And how does one know? By surrendering to God. How does one surrender to God? By surrendering to a spiritual master. So, Shishyaste Aham, I surrender to you. So, many times people say that we know the Bhagavad Gita. Yes, we may intellectually know, but truly we know when we turn towards the Gita with the desire to do the will of the Lord. As long as we are not having that desire to do the will of the Lord, till that point, our knowledge will remain theoretical. And we may say that I do not know the will of the Lord. Yes, that is fine. And that is why the Shastra is there for us. The Shastra gives us overall guidance about what are the situations in which different devotees have acted in different ways. And based on that, we learn what the will of God will be for us. And when we do in the broad situations the will of God, then gradually in specific situations also we will be able to do the will of God. I mean, generally, the will of God is that we be Krishna conscious, we avoid immoral activities. You do those things gradually, in specific situations also we come to know the will of God. It takes time, but that is revealed to us over a period of time. Now, Shishyasteham, I have become your disciple. Prabhupada writes in the purport about how there are this Brahmana and Krupana. Brahmana is a person who lives in such a way as to seek the absolute truth. And Krupana is a person who lives in such a way as to be very short-sighted, just wanting quick gains, not thinking of anything long term. And we should live as Brahmana, not Krupanas. So that is related with the point of Shreya. All of us need Shreya. And what is the miserly weakness? That is attachment. Attachment to one's family and relatives based on bodily conception. You know, the bodily conception, when we are attached, then it leads to bondage, it leads to suffering, it leads to complications in life which one needs to pull oneself away from so that one can focus on God. So Arjuna is now overcome by bodily attachment and is unable to think of what is right and what is wrong. So now, is bodily attachment wrong? If we are seeing our relatives as parts of Krishna and we are seeing ourselves as devotees of Krishna and then we are serving them and loving them, then that makes the attachment spiritual and that can help us go closer towards Krishna. But attachment at the body level can cause a lot of suffering and it causes bondage because we get sucked in it and then we forget our higher spiritual opportunities, the inevitable destruction of relationships that are going to be there at this level of reality and the opportunity that we miss for turning towards Krishna and loving Krishna. So when acting at the material level completely seems to be futile, whatever I do, it's a lose situation. That's the time when we start thinking, what should I do now? And that is the time when our enlightenment begins. Shishyasteham shadhimam tvam prapannam. That is the time when Arjuna, who is put in situation, he becomes a disciple. So for us, as devotees, Prabhupada would often say that we all need a spiritual master in our life. And now, of course, we all have our spiritual master. And we may feel that, yes, I have, but how many times can I turn to my spiritual master for guidance? See, it's not just the spiritual master. The spiritual master is not just a person. It's definitely a person, but it's also a principle. And that principle is, spiritual master is Guru Tattva, is a representative of Krishna. And when we start following the process of devotional service, Krishna manifests to us through the spiritual master, and Krishna manifests us through Sadhu Shastra, through the other devotees, through the super soul in the heart. But this act of surrender is very important for us because it is the beginning of our serious search for God. So Arjuna is of course a pure devotee, but by the arrangement of the Lord, he is being put into Yoga Maya. So when earlier we said that, oh, Arjuna saw with the eyes and because of Pratyaksha he came into Yoga Maya. That means that actually he came under the process of under Maya. The point here is that even that his observing with the eyes and then coming into illusion, that is for us to learn that how a person comes under illusion. But essentially what is happening to Arjuna is the will of the Lord. Now moving forward, Krishna may say, oh, Arjuna, we are friends. There's no need for us to change that relationship. If you want some guidance, you go to some other people. You go to Vyasadeva, he's a great sage, or you go to other people. Why are you coming to me? Or, you know, actually speaking, you just win the war and then you'll forget all this misery. So, we may try some solution at a material level, but that doesn't work. So then, he says, no, he says, nothing else will work for me. Nahi prapashyami ma panudyat yachokamuchoshanam indriyanam avapya bhuma vasaptanam vriddham rajyam suhanam apichadipatyam. So, nahi prapashyami, I am not able to see. Pashyami, see, I am not able to see how anything else, anything material can solve my problems. Mam apanudyat, how it can be driven away. Yachokam uchoshanam, this shoka, choka, the shoka has changed to choka because of the sandhi rules of Sanskrit. So that is very related to the word, very similar sounding to the word choke in English. So, shoka, shoka chokes. So, yachokam uchoshanam. So, that shoka, what is it? It's drying me up from within. And what is it drying up? It's drying up my indriyas. Indriyanam. So, when a person is in great tension, what happens is, you feel as if the stomach is roiling. And its stomach is being balled into some pit. The muscles are grinding. As Arjuna has said, my limbs are quivering. My throat has dried up. This is, everything is dried up actually. Yachokam uchoshanam indriyanam. So at a physiochemical level also, when our emotions become very intense, the fluid content of the body decreases. So we feel that indriyanam uchoshanam, I am completely being sucked up by the grief. And avapya bhuma vasaptanam vriddham, even if I get a bhuma, I get a kingdom, how long? Without any sapta, sapta means without any enemies. And for a king, actually, there are multiple enemies, multiple problems. There may be enemies who may attack, and that king has to always in fear. But he is talking about dream material situation, where he says, asaptanam, there are no enemies. And not only that, riddham. Sometimes there will be no enemies, but nature may act as an enemy. And there may be drought or famine. And then the kingdom is in trouble. But he says, riddham. So there is no enemies also, and there is no natural problem also. Natural disasters also. So, it's a prosperous kingdom. So, he's actually envisioning a situation that would be a dream situation for a king. Even if I get that. Rajyam suranam apichadipadyam. So, even if I get a Rajya like that, and not only like that, even if I get a Rajya like that of the Devatas, suranam apichadipadyam. That means even if I get a kingdom equivalent to heaven, even that will not help. That will not dry up the grief. See, we exist, our existence currently is three-dimensional. We generally say two-dimensional, material and spiritual, which is true. But within the material, there are two dimensions. In the material, there is the emotional and there is the physical. So, in this way, spiritual, emotional and physical, these three levels of existence are there. So, often, most of the time, we are thinking of physical protection, physical gratification, physical titillation. No, people say roti kapda makan, you know, even food for the food, clothing, shelter. These are important, no doubt. They are important, no doubt. We need them at a physical level for survival. However, at an emotional level, things are also very intense. You know, if somebody maybe very comfortably situated with respect to food, clothing, shelter, but if that person is having some emotional trouble, know, somebody's an abusive relative is there, or a exploitative boss is there, or some tormenting misunderstanding with one's spouse is there, or some intergenerational conflicts between parents and children is there, then that emotional conflict can be so tormenting that the physical comforts don't bring any comfort. So Arjuna is saying that actually I am tormented at an emotional level right now. Yachokamuchoshanam indriyanam. And when I'm tormented at an emotional level, physical gratification cannot solve a problem at an emotional level. What does it mean? Actually, you know, a problem needs a particular solution. If I'm hungry, then sleeping on a comfortable bed can't solve the problem. So in the Chitraketa Maharaj's pastime, he said that although he had such a huge flourishing kingdom, but because he did not have a child, it all felt like garlands of honor being offered to a starving man. When a person is starving, everything else is made irrelevant as compared to the fire that is burning in the stomach. So that way, when a particular problem is there, we need a particular solution. So he's saying, right now I am tormented, torn apart practically speaking, at the emotional level. And fighting at a physical level and winning the kingdom, that is not going to be a solution for my emotional issues. So actually, if you have to solve emotional issues, we can't make physical arrangement to solve emotional issues. People think that wealth will solve my problems, but wealth cannot bring love. And love, we understand from the Vedic scriptures, is not just emotional, ultimately it's spiritual. Love is an emotion, but generally, see, our emotional level is between the material and the spiritual. So we can get emotions about material things, we can get emotions about spiritual things. When we get emotions about spiritual things, that means about Krishna and Krishna's devotees, those emotions lift us up. They bring us closer to Krishna. When we get emotions about material things, those emotions drag us down. They keep us entangled in material life. So now, when these emotions are there in between the material and the spiritual, what is the way out? We have to make sure that our emotions are connected with Krishna. Then they will lift us out of existence. So if we see in the first chapter, Arjuna has not talked anything in the devotional perspective. He's talked from material perspective, either this life or next life, but it's material perspective. It is not a spiritual or a devotional perspective. That is the perspective that will be brought by Arjuna. So emotional problems, we do need some emotional relief, but ultimately, as long as our emotions are connected with the material, there's going to be only trouble sooner or later. Only when our emotions become connected with Krishna, then there will be purification, then there will be elevation, and there will be liberation. And liberation not just from misery, but liberation will be release into ecstasy. So, that is the important point of the Bhagavad Gita. So, physical solutions can't deal with emotional problems. We need spiritual solutions for ultimately emotional problems. Of course, even as devotees, sometimes grief is troubling us. We need some emotional support. We need some friends, some counseling, some solace, some support. Yes, we need that at emotional level. But ultimately, if we are in the devotee circle, it is all helping us to come closer to Krishna. It is that those emotions, when you are troubled, ultimately when we come closer to Krishna, then we get emotional relief. So he's telling this solution will not work, O Krishna. And then he moves forward. And then when he says, oh, I don't know what to do. So in the next verse, actually it is Sanjay speaking. And he, Sanjay, paraphrases what Krishna speaks. And he says that actually you can only solve my problems. I will not fight till then. So now Prabhupada, in a sense, in some purports, what Srila Prabhupada does is that he continues the thought that is going on in the previous purport. So in the previous purport, he is saying that how a person has to surrender to a guru, and how Krishna is the guru and representative of Krishna is the guru. And Prabhupada continues the same thing, and he talks about the qualification of the guru. He talks about two verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Padma Purana about the qualification of a guru. And then he says that the problems of material existence are there even in well-developed parts of the world. So even in heaven they are there. And therefore, none of these can be dealt with. None of these are solutions to the problems. Then he goes to the next. Sanjay Vacha Eva Muktva Rishikesham Udakesha Parantapa Nayotseti Govindam Uktva Tushnim Babhuvaha. Eva Muktva, after having spoken thus, Rishikesham. So, when the suffix comes, that means it is to that person it is being spoken. And when aha comes, it is that person is speaking. So, Gudakesham, Rishikesha. Rishikesham, Gudakesha. So, to Rishikesh, Gudakesh is speaking. Rishikesh is the lord of senses, Gudakesh is the lord of sleep. So, actually, both of them are Isha, but one Isha is higher than the other. So, although Arjuna is also the conqueror of sleep, but that one conqueror is still a Jiva and he is getting conquered by other forms of ignorance, other forms of illusion. So, Rishikesha. So, when Gudakesha spoke like this, Parantapaha. So, that Gudakesha, it's interesting that he uses one word for glorifying Krishna, Rishikesham. But here Sanjay is using two words to glorify Arjuna. Gudakeshah and Parantapa. Why? That is to indicate that he was a great person. The material life can be so complex, so riveting, that so entangling, that even a person who is so great, who is a Gudakesha, who is a Parantapa, such a person can be dragged down and can be brought to the knees, can be made to feel helpless. That's what is happening. And Nayotsya iti Govindam. So that Gudakesha, that Parantapa, who has become frozen by indecision now, he says, Nayotsya iti Govindam. Oh, I will not fight, I will not fight. Nayotsya, I will not fight. And then, Uktva tu shrim. He spoke thus, and Babhuvaha. After speaking thus, he became silent. Uktva, so the word Uktva comes twice. So, first Uktva refers to what has been spoken earlier. The previous verses. So, that is 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's what Arjuna has spoken now. 5 verses. And then, Eva Muktva, that is for that. And then, Nayotsya iti Govindam. So, he spoke unto Govinda, Nayotsya. Oh, Govinda, I will not fight. And after Uktvadas, then Tushnim, silent. Bubhuva, he became her. Certainly. So, here, Sanjay is drawing back to say, what has happened on the battlefield? He says, oh, Arjuna said, I will not fight. No, Govinda. Nayotsya iti Govindam. So, after he speaks in this way, then what happens? Let us see. So, of course, Prabhupada also mentioned that Dhritarashtra is delighted, but Dhritarashtra's delight is going to be short-lived because actually Krishna is Rishikesha, Krishna is Govinda. He is the controller of the senses. He will bring Arjuna's senses under control properly. They are gone out of control now. Govinda. He will give Arjuna real satisfaction to his senses by engaging them in devotional service. That's the indication. So, when what happened next? Tamuvacha Rishikesha Prahasanniva Bharata Senayor Ubhayor Madhye Vishidantamidam Vachaha. So Tam Uvacha, and to that person spoke Rishikeshaha. So when Rishikesha spoke like this, Prahasan Iva Bharata. Prahasan means smiling. Now Iva is as if. Eva in Sanskrit is certainly. Iva is as if, like. So Bharata. So this Bharata refers to Dhritarashtra. He is speaking to the descendant of Bharata. So, Tam refers to Arjuna. So, to Arjuna, Rishikesha spoke. And, O Bharata, I am telling this to you. Senayoru bhayoru madhye. So, this is what is used to point out the dramatic nature of the setting of the Bhagavad Gita. It is a scripture that is spoken right in the middle of a battlefield. Senayoru bhayoru madhye. Vishidantam idam vachaha. Vishidantam. So, the word Vishidantam had come earlier also in the same chapter, the first verse. Tam tatha krupaya vishtim ashrupurna kulekshanam Vishidantam idam vakya uvacha madhusudana. So there also Arjuna was lamenting Vishidantam, and 2.1 Arjuna lamented, and 2.2 Krishna spoke. Now 2.10 also Arjuna is lamenting, and 2.11 onwards Krishna will speak. But there's a difference. Krishna in 2.1, when Arjuna was lamenting, Krishna basically gave a pep talk. Because Arjuna had just actually, in a sense, communicated his decision. He said that I cannot fight. He just put aside his bow. But Arjuna had not made an inquiry, had not asked for instruction. Generally speaking, many times, all of us are very eager to give instruction to others. There is nothing which people want to give as freely and as eagerly as advice. Everybody feels, yes, I want to give advice, I want to give advice, I want to give advice. So, actually, even Krishna, he tells us that we can give some pep talk, but he does not start giving instruction till he is asked. So, what does this indicate? Now, this does not mean that we shouldn't distribute. Actually, when we're giving classes, when we're giving books, when we are preaching in various ways, are we not giving instructions? Or those are generic? Now that is our responsibility to share the broad principles of Krishna's wisdom, of Krishna's message with the people in the world. That is our responsibility. But beyond that, actually, when we have to guide somebody specifically, one of the most important things is that if we interfere in someone's life, if people don't want our help, then giving the help can often backfire, because unwanted help is often seen as an interference, not an assistance. And when help is seen as an interference, not an assistance, then generally speaking, the consequence is that that help is not appreciated or accepted, but is rebuffed. And that can even lead to a straining of further relationships. Because a person will ask, why are you interfering in my life? Now, I know what I'm supposed to do. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that if somebody is falling off, somebody is walking off a 10-story building cliff, and we just let that person walk off. Bhakti Sanskrit Thakur gave that example of how, when we see that people are going on the wrong track, we feel morally obliged to help. It's like a child is falling off, the other person will say, oh, come, stop, don't do this. So, that is definitely true. We have an obligation to help others. But here what we are talking about is, so that obligation we have to fulfill by generically giving instructions to, giving not our instructions, but Krishna's instructions to people. That is our duty too, that Krishna says that one who does this is very dear to me. But when it comes to one-to-one, unless we have good relationship, you know, if we offer some instruction to others, it can often backfire on us. So you have to be careful. It is only when a person asks for some help, then we can give help. Otherwise, in a general way, we can offer some suggestions and we see how the response is. And then we decide, should I accept this? Should I give any further suggestions or not? In general, the point is very true that we give advice too freely to others. So when people ask, at that time, depending on the trust level in the relationship, we can give guidance. But here Krishna is showing that at both, he saw that Arjuna was suffering, but when Arjuna did not ask specifically for guidance, he just communicated a decision earlier. Actually, Arjuna communicated a decision in the first chapter and by putting aside the bow. So Krishna just gave a pep talk. Hey, how can you do this? Come on. I gave a pep talk. Buck up. But then, here what happens? It's not like that. Here Arjuna has surrendered. And actually, 2.7 tells us surrender. Shishyasteham shadivamtaram papandam. And somebody may say that surrender also, somebody is just doing it for namesake. But 2.8 makes it very clear that it's not for namesake. Arjuna is saying that nothing else will work. Nahi prapavishyamimapanu, that I don't see any other solution. I need to rise to a higher level of consciousness. I need absolutely to develop a higher vision of life. What is my dharma? I need to know that. Only then things will be clear for me. Only then this fog that is there inside me will dissipate. So because Arjuna has surrendered, now Krishna, when he starts speaking, he will not give a pep talk. He will start serious instruction. So now, here, Prahasan Iva Bharata. So Vishnu Chakravakur and Acharya has explained in general about Prahasan Iva. Prahasan means smiling. So, now this seems to be a very contrasting situation. We saw that in 2.1, Arjuna, what was the situation? Ashru Purna Kulekshanam. So imagine if you are just walking by and you see two people meeting, two people are talking, and one person, tears are there in the eyes, the tears are flowing. And then you see the other person smiling. What is this? You know, if a person is crying, then we should at least commiserate, we should sympathize, if not empathize, we should offer some support. So, is Krishna so heartless that here Arjuna is crying and Krishna is smiling? Actually, Prahasan Iva, so smiling as if. What does it indicate? That smiling as if means, Prabhupada explains in the purport also, that actually suddenly the dynamics of the relationship has changed. They're friends, and as friends, Krishna and Arjuna are equals. But suddenly what has happened is, the friend has become a disciple. The friend has become a disciple. And when the friend has become a disciple and has surrendered to the spiritual master, so the spiritual master's, this dynamic of the relationship suddenly changing, Arjuna is surprised, Krishna is pleasantly surprised to see this. Of course, we can say at ultimate level, Krishna is not surprised about anything, because Krishna is omniscient, he knows everything. But when Krishna is performing his pastimes, he doesn't necessarily act like that. So Krishna is pleasantly responding by smiling ever. So generally speaking, how it works is that if one person has a problem, if there are two friends and one person has a problem, the other friend may just laugh off the problem. And he says, so for example, if sometimes you just someone's friend just laughs off, then we also feel like there's nothing very serious. So just as when Bhima suggested to Krishna that, Krishna, when you are going as a Shanti Dut, please try your best for getting peace. So Krishna said, oh, Bhima, you also. You were wanting war throughout and now suddenly you are wanting peace. Truly it is said, when war actually comes, people become fearful. I'm not fearful. So Krishna was joking and Arjuna, Bhima said, I'm not fearful. And sometimes some weakness when it comes up, just by speaking a few words, which are basically like goading words, the weakness goes away. But when a person becomes a disciple and surrenders to spiritual master, so the spiritual master cannot laugh at the disciple. The disciple tells some problem, I have this problem. And if you not laugh, ah, ha, 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 ha. You know, the disciple's heart will sink to the bottom of the Patal Loka. Isn't it? He says, oh, a little mortified. I have such a serious problem. And I need some solution. So Krishna, when he sees a sudden change in the relationship, he feels like smiling, but he restrains the smile. Prahasan eva bharata. That's why it's as if smiling. And of course, Krishna knows that now, through Arjuna, through this arrangement, now he's going to speak of wisdom that is going to benefit not only Arjuna, but that is going to benefit all of humanity for all time to come. And now Krishna begins. That's the next verse. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Ashochan Anvashochastvam Pragyavadamscha Bhashase Gatasuna Gatasumscha Nanushochanti Panditaha. So Ashochan Anvashochastvam, that which is not worth lamenting. Ashochan, you are lamenting, not worthy of lamentation. Anvashochas, you are greatly lamenting for that. And by lamenting, pragyavadamscha bhashase, your bhasha, your speech is pragyavadams, you are speaking words which seem to be like wise. But what is the sign of true wisdom? That is gata asun agata sumscha. So asun is actually life, or life air, to be more specific. So gata asu means when the life air has gone away. That means somebody who is dead, agat asu means life air has not gone away. That means the person is not dead. Gata asu, agata asumscha, na anushochanti. So the word shocha is coming thrice in this particular verse. It comes first in ashochan, then anvashochas, and then na anushochanti. So he's saying that the pandita, the true learned person, does not lament, but you are lamenting. Na anushochanti panditaha. So here, by this, what is he saying? You are mourning for thought that is not worthy of mourning. Mourning. So here, Arjuna Krishna sort of calls the bluff of Arjuna. So what does he do? He actually says, you are speaking big words. What are the big words? He said that iti shushruma. He says, I have heard from scripture like this. Narakeniyatam vaso, papameva ashridasman, we'll go to hell, we'll get sin. And speaking all these big words, but what is the practical reality? The practical reality is that you are overwhelmed by emotions. So actually, the test, education is not just meant for verbalization. Education is meant for transformation. Verbalization means it's not just I know means I speak big things. There should be a transformation. And the real education is not the education of words, it is the education of emotions. The education of emotions. So the education of emotions means that actually the education by which we know what emotions are appropriate and what emotions are inappropriate. What emotions are real and what emotions are illusory. What do we mean by real and illusory? It doesn't mean that emotions, when somebody passes away, or then the emotions that we feel, it's not that the emotions are false. When relatives are crying, it is not that those relationships are false. But the emotions are not false in the sense that a person actually feels grief-struck. A person actually feels devastated at times. So it's not, we're not saying that the emotions are false, but the point is that those emotions are false in the sense that they are based on a false platform. The platform of our bodily identification. The platform that the material reality is the actual reality. The platform that actually this is the way things are, that is the way things will continue to be. So when our emotions are uninformed, emotions are uneducated, then those emotions indicate that the knowledge has not been internalized. So we may be verbalizing knowledge without internalizing it. And if we are doing that, if we are only verbalizing knowledge without internalizing it, then that indicates that we have not actually made much spiritual advancement. So Krishna is telling Arjuna, yes, you are verbalizing big words, you are verbalizing knowledge, but you have not internalized the knowledge. And because of that, your emotions remain uneducated. Gatasun, agatasunsha. So it is described that when the soul departs from the body, along with the soul, the subtle body goes. Along with the subtle body also, it is said that the life air also goes. Now what exactly is the life air? Asum refers to, yeah, asu is in Hindi, it may mean tears, but here it doesn't refer to tears. Asun, it refers to life air. Gat asun means life air goes away. So what is this life air which goes away? Actually, in modern science, we have the idea of oxygen, that we need oxygen for survival. Yes, just that is true from the perspective of modern medical science. We do need oxygen for survival, but it's not just oxygen alone. There is a whole framework of airs which are networking and coordinating the functioning of the body. So they are, all of them together are called as the pranavayu. The life, the airs, the whose circulation enables us to live and enables us to function in the body. So I was talking just now about the the spiritual level, then the mental level, the emotional level, and then the physical level. So the subtle body is the link between the spirit and the matter and the body. Soul and the body, subtle body is the link. Now, to some extent, the link between the subtle body and the gross body is the life air, prana. There are multiple links, but life air is one of the important links. So what happens with the life air is, we can get some understanding of this through our own experience. When we get angry, our breath becomes faster. And sometimes when we are stressed, if at that time we just slow down our breath, just take slow, deep breaths, then the stress decreases. So what does this indicate? That our emotions are connected with our breathing. So, and that connection is both bidirectional. When the emotions become agitated, the breath becomes agitated. When the breath is calmed, the emotions become calmed. So, when the soul dies, or when the death occurs, at that time, soul never dies. When the person, when what we call as death happens, at that time, the soul goes out of the body, subtle body goes with the soul, and the life air also goes. We can recollect, say, when Krishna is sucking the breasts of Putana, what does he do? He sucks not only her breasts, he sucks along with the breasts the life air. You know, he's sucking not only the milk from her, and he takes out the life air. And it is said that when life air comes out, at that time, she dies. So life air is what enables the soul and subtle body to stay in the body, gross body. So the life air is, so when we say life air has gone out, then that means the person has died. So of course, one symptom of death is breathing has stopped. So gata asun, when the breath has gone out, the breathing has stopped and the person has died. Gata asun, agata asun, sure. So either way, the person doesn't continue in life. So now, after describing this, he says, your emotions are uneducated. And then he will describe, what does it mean? He will start describing the next verse. Natvevaham jatunasam natvam neme janadhipaha nachayvana bhavishyamaha sarve vayamatah param. Natva evaham jatu nasam. So he says, certainly not, but aham na asam. There was not a time when I did not exist. Na tvam na ime janadhipa, nor you, nor ime janadhipa, nor all these kings. Na cha eva, nor even certainly, na bhavishyamaha. So there was never a time in the past when they did not, when I, you and these kings do not exist. Nor in the future, bhavishyamaha, sarve vayam, all of us, taha param, hereafter, will cease to exist. So here, this is a very significant verse in the overall message of the Gita. So Arjuna's fear was that, oh, my relatives, I'll kill them, then what will happen? They will all die. So he says, no, there was never a time when they did not exist. Nor will their appointment, they will not exist. That means we are all eternal. So we are all eternal. Now, the very significant point is that actually, even before Krishna teaches about the soul very directly, he emphasizes the eternality of personality. The eternality of personality. What does that mean? The eternality of personality. He emphasizes that all of us are eternal persons. Eternally, we are persons. And he says that I existed in the past, I will exist in the future. You existed in the past, you will exist in the future. So the impersonalist idea is that I, you, all of us are basically just an illusion. Because in the future, my sense of I-ness is the biggest problem. So when the I dissolves and merges into the cosmic consciousness, then all miseries end at that time. That is the idea. But the problem with this idea is that it is illusory. It's not illusory in the sense of the way material things, material illusions are there, of say sense objects making us happy. It may be a subtler kind of illusion, but still it's an illusion because we are denying and rejecting our individuality and personality. So Krishna says our personality, my personality, your personality, everyone's personality, it's eternal. We are all eternal beings. We are eternally individuals. So here Prabhupada actually quotes Ramanujacharya, and Ramanujacharya in his Gita Bhashya, he keeps points very simple in general. His Shri Bhashya is very intricate. He gets in such solid arguments, smashing apart the Sharirika Bhashya. So Sharirika Bhashya was the commentary in Vedanta Sutra by Shankaracharya. And Shri Bhashya, Ramanujacharya is like a warrior on the run in the battlefield, pounding back all the arguments that are made. And Madhvacharya is also in the same mode. In his commentary also, Brahma Sutra Bhashya. So in the Bhagavata commentary, Ramanujacharya, because he has explained most of the context of concept in the Shri Bhashya, he doesn't go so much into conceptual analysis. He gives brief comments which help us understand the Bhagavata better. But only in a few verses, for example here, to point 12, he gives a strong commentary, long and strong commentary. And Prabhupada is paraphrasing his commentary over here. His point is very simple and very potent, very punchy. What is that point? He says, okay, the Mayavadi idea is that we are all actually Brahman, and somehow the Brahman has come under illusion. And while the Brahman is under illusion, I think I am a person, you think you are a person, and like that we all think we are persons. And when Brahman will come out of illusion, then we will all merge into that conscious, cosmic consciousness. So if that is the philosophy of Mayavad, then the question comes, why is Krishna telling over here that you existed in the past? So now somebody says, oh, it is only referring to past lives. Okay, But then what about the future? He said, you will exist in the future also. So somebody says, oh, kings, some of the kings may just live on in material existence. So that future refers only to material existence future. But then we know that elsewhere, from elsewhere, you know, in scripture, that Arjuna was enlightened. Even the impersonalists accept that the Bhagavad Gita is a book of wisdom which leads to enlightenment. So if Arjuna was enlightened, by enlightenment, he became liberated. So when he became liberated, he is saying that he will, you will continue to exist. And it is very categorical. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor any of this else. So the Mayavadi idea is that somehow, at some time, the Brahman came under illusion. And from that time onwards only, we are there. And till we come out of illusion, we will be there. But what Krishna's statement is never in the past, never in the future. Did we cease to exist? We are always existing. So it indicates that our individuality is eternal. So the Mayavadis may argue that, oh, but actually, if the individuality is eternal, then that is actually, is simply being talked at a conversational level. It's a conventional talk. It's not a philosophical talk. What does it mean? Conventional and not philosophical. Sometimes, even a devotee may say that, I'm hungry. So when a devotee says, I'm hungry, we are talking in a conventional way. Actually, we don't, on a day-to-day level, we don't differentiate. My stomach is hungry. We don't say like that. We know at a philosophical level that I am different from my body. But we don't differentiate like that at a day-to-day functional level. You know, in a day-to-day discussion, we don't constantly differentiate with a devotee's body and a devotee's soul. This is spiritual, this is material. And it's not, we are trying to serve. Our focus is not so much to analyze what is material and spiritual. To the extent that it is anukul for bhakti, that is fine. But sometimes in a conversational sense, we may say, I'm hungry. Or sometimes you may say, you know, if some devotee is saying, some devotee is, maybe has become a little overweight, he says, hey, you have built up. So now you may say, your body has grown fat. You will not say such things. So the argument may be that this is just a conversational, conventional way of discussion. So I, you, we. But Ramanujacharya hits back and he says, how can it be conventional? So that is the argument which we can logically expand from the context. Because in the previous verse, Arjuna has been condemned for talking at the level of illusion. Ashochyan and Ashochastam. That's 2.11. And 2.30, so 2.11 indicates that this is not a casual conversational talk. That sort of casual conversational and conventional material emotions are condemned. And the next statement is also a philosophical statement. That is, you are not the body or the soul. Dehi knows me yatha dehi. And for future statement also, if we see that it goes on in a philosophical way, tolerate, because everything is temporary. Understand that that is Tamsatishasabhata 2.14. Then 2.15 is Nasato Vidyate Bhavo. Actually, the eternal never ceases to exist. So the overall tenor of this discussion is highly philosophical. So before this is a philosophical point being made, after this is a philosophical point being made. So why will this verse make a normal conventional point? Why will this be in a casual conversational sense? And another point is, even if we grant for argument's sake that it is in a casual conversational sense, still the point remains, what would the casual conversational sense mean in Arjuna, in Krishna's sense? Krishna is saying that I existed in the past and I will exist in the future. Now Krishna is never under illusion. So Krishna will not talk in the sense of as if he is under illusion. Krishna will always be enlightened. So if our sense of I-ness is illusion, then we may be under illusion, but even the Mayavadis accept that Krishna is liberated. Their idea is that Brahman has taken a form, and Brahman has taken a form to speak. But whatever it is, they consider Krishna is liberated. So if Krishna is liberated and Krishna is saying, I will continue to exist. He is not saying that Brahman will continue to exist. I will continue to exist. What does it? So Krishna's talk, self-reference, talking to about himself in the first person, that is not under illusion. And he is saying, my individuality is also eternal. That means God is a transcendental individual eternally. And so are we. So this verse very emphatically refutes Mayavad and establishes eternality of personality, eternality of individuality. And Prabhupada quotes about this famous verse from Katha Upanishad, Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam. So there are many Nityas, among them one Nitya is special. There are many Chetans, conscious being, among them one conscious being is special. So and what is that speciality? That one conscious being, Eko Bahuna Yo Vididhati Kaman. That one being is maintaining all other beings. And then what is the speciality of that one being? If we come to know him, then we become free from all misery. Generally, we quote the first two lines of the verse. Prabhupada quotes that much often. But in the Katha Upanishad verse, the next two lines are also important. Tam atmastham yanupashyanti dhiras. So those sober people who see this person in their heart, tam atmastham yanupashyanti, tesham shanti shashvati nitare netare sham. They will attain shashvata shanti. They will attain eternal peace. So, in this way, Prabhupada very, very emphatically argues in the tradition to refute Mayavad. And Prabhupada very strongly condemns Mayavad. He says Mayavad approach is like licking honey from the outside. And Prabhupada concludes, the plurality of the individual soul and the Lord is an eternal fact. It's an eternal fact. So now if somebody says, no, actually Krishna is also speaking under illusion. So then the question comes up, if Krishna is speaking under illusion, then what is the need for us to hear from the Bhagavad Gita? The very premise for hearing from the Bhagavad Gita is that Krishna is enlightened. And if Krishna is enlightened and Krishna is referring to his individuality in the first person and he's talking about the eternality of the individuality, that indicates that we are all eternally individuals. So after discussing about the eternality of the individual, eternity, now in the next verse, Krishna will talk about the spirituality of the individuality. That we'll talk in our next class. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.